I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. This week, Bill S. Ballinger's best-selling novel of the pursuit of a damned couple. The Wife of the Red-Haired Man. Starring Patty DuCastle, John Astin, and Howard Duff. In Elliot Lewis's production of The Zero Hour.
The Mutual Broadcasting System presents The Zero Hour. Sponsored in part by
the makers of Quaker State Motor Oil and National Presto Industries. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
Hugh Rohan, supposedly killed in Vietnam, returns after an absence of 7 years to find his wife remarried to Albert Turner. In a confrontation, Rohan, the red-haired man, panics and kills Turner. Mercedes Turner, still in love with Rohan, flees with him. She hurriedly gathers money and her jewels, buys a car, and the two escape New York and drive to Delaware. Two detectives, Williams from the 19th Precinct and Scores from Homicide, are assigned to the case. Williams finds that Mercedes Turner was secretly married to Hugh Rohan before her second unhappy marriage to Albert Turner. However, he doesn't know it was Rohan who shot Turner, nor is he yet aware that the fugitive Rohan even exists. But first, this word.
Open up! It's me, Napoleon Bonaparte, Emperor of all France, much of the civilized world, and Louisiana if the deal falls through.
Quick, Pierre, hide in the closet. Napoleon must not find you here.
Coming now, Pete.
Ah, Josephine, I had to see you.
Napoleon, my dearest heart, what are you doing here? I thought you were at Waterloo.
I was, but it ended early. What is that? I smell cigarette smoke. You know I hate you to smoke.
I didn't. I don't. I started again.
Aha! The smoke coming from that closet. Come out of there, you scoundrel, and on guard.
He was only in there to pick up the dry cleaning.
Take that, you filthy escargot.
This world history lesson was brought to you by your American Cancer Society, which says smoking can be injurious to your health.
Touché!
In more ways than one.
I drove back to New York late at night after my Connecticut scouting expedition. I found that Mercedes Turner and a young red-haired man named Hugh Rohan had been in love and had gotten married. This confirmed my growing feeling that someone had been with Mercedes Turner when her husband had been murdered. Someone who was with her now as she ran from us. In the morning, Scores was waiting for me with additional medical examiner reports.
Albert Turner was shot with a .32. One shot through the heart.
Anything on that carpet stain?
The one in the living room? It's Turner's blood, all right. So that's where he was shot.
Fingerprints?
Well, someone cleaned up pretty well, the lab boys feel.
You don't say.
Yeah, they lifted prints on Turner, the maid, Mrs. Turner, some unidentifieds. But the doorknob, bar surface, phone, all clean of any prints.
That it?
No, one thing more. They picked up a strand of red hair. Texture indicates it's a man's. Now, Thelma Jordan can't recall any visitor to the apartment who had red hair.
Hello?
Miss Battles?
Yes?
This is Detective Williams from the New York City Police. I spoke to you yesterday.
Mr. Williams, the paper says murder. You didn't say anything about murder.
Mrs. Battles, tell me. After Mercedes' father annulled her marriage to Hugh Rohan, what happened to Rohan?
The war happened. He went to Vietnam.
And what then?
I don't know. I guess he got killed over there.
Why do you say that?
Because Mercy loved you no matter how her father felt. If she remarried, it was because Hugh Rohan was killed in the war.
All right, Miss Battles. Thank you for your help.
We found a strand of red hair belongs to a ghost.
Yeah, right. On the phone yesterday, you said she went to the bank first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Withdrew $4,500 cash. Collected maybe 50 grand in jewels from her safe deposit box. We got a description from the insurance company.
And her mink coat, another $8,000 or $9,000?
Yeah, probably.
All right, send a description of the jewelry to all jewelry stores and pawnbrokers within 2 days' drive of here. And check out the sale of every new or used car within a couple of hours' drive from here.
You think she bought a car?
Yes, and I think she's going to start selling her jewels, and I think she's got a red-haired male companion.
The ghost, huh?
Right, right. I think she's traveling with a ghost.
We woke to clear, sunny skies, and Hugh seemed more cheerful than the night before. I wanted him to tell me more about what he'd said. That he was a convict. An escaped convict. Whenever I tried to ask him, he'd sense what I was about to say and avoid me. After breakfast, we left, drove to Fredericksburg, where we were married. Then we found another small vacation cottage nearly deserted by the season.
You'll tell me what happened when you want to. Or not at all.
I love you. I have since the day we met. I always will, no matter what.
Oh, Mercy. Mercy. Look, someday I'll tell you. Someday. But not just now. Not yet.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cry on our wedding day.
Well, you did last time.
Yeah, I did. Because I was so happy.
Come on, let's go inside.
Not yet. I want to drive to the drugstore. Which told me last night what the police might have found. We have to do something about your red hair.
Yes. Then even if they're looking for two people, it won't be us.
I'll be right back. You wait inside.
Morning, Mr. Thompson. Sure is cold this morning.
Cold? It must be 94 in the shade.
I mean it's cold inside your car's engine.
Well, why didn't you say so?
You didn't ask.
Well, just tell me how my engine can be cold on a sweltering day.
Glad you asked. When you start a car first thing in the morning, your engine is cold.
Well, that's true, but so what?
A cold engine does a bad job of burning gas. It can make soot, dirt, and acids form in your motor oil. And they can sure damage an engine.
What can I do about it?
Glad you asked. Instead of asking for my cheapest oil, you can start using a quality motor oil, Quaker State. Nothing finer than Quaker State. It's made scientific to neutralize acids and to hold solids suspended, so they don't gouge out your engine.
Well, thanks for telling me, Caleb.
Down a quart, Mr. Thompson. Quaker State?
Well, yes. Why didn't you give me Quaker State before?
You didn't ask.
Quaker State your car to keep it running young.
We'll return to our story in a moment.
Life is a thread, one delicate dream. Don't stretch it, don't break it. For life can be long and life can be strong, and that's the way to make it.
Problem drinkers who drive cars were responsible for the deaths of 18,000 people last year. Men, women, children, babies, and very often themselves. More than 40 people every day.
Life is a thread, one delicate dream. Don't stretch it, don't break it. For life can be long and life can be strong, and that's the way to make it.
Get the problem drinker off the road for his sake and yours. Write to Drunk Driver, Box 1969, Washington, D.C. We'll tell you how you can help. A public service message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation.
I'm not a man who believes in ghosts. I recognize that things happen which can't be explained. And I accept the fact that not everything is written out in capital letters so even a small child will understand. But when the lab finds a single red hair from a male human, then a male human with red hair was in the room where that hair was found. Yet all our information led us to the conclusion that the man in question was dead. But there was still an unexamined part of Mercedes Turner's life. Neighbors named Layton, who lived in the apartment above.
Well, you can imagine our surprise. We'd been up in New Hampshire skiing, and we hadn't heard any news. And then on the way home today, we heard about it on the radio.
How well did you know the Turners?
Oh, casually. You know, you see them in the elevator and say hello, or they get out of a cab you get into.
Mr. Turner was shot Thursday night. I believe you were here in town then.
Yeah, we didn't leave until Friday afternoon.
Well, sometime around midnight. We're not sure the exact time. Did you hear a revolver shot?
My husband's a perfectionist about his hi-fi. We wouldn't have heard anything because this apartment's soundproofed.
Uh-huh. What did you think of the Turners as people, as a couple?
Mrs. Turner is a beautiful woman. I don't know about him.
Oh?
Polite enough in the hall and lobby, but I never really liked him.
Hmm.
Had a feeling he could be pretty unpleasant if he wanted.
On the day of the shooting, or that night, did you see any strangers around the building?
Oh, in New York, everyone's a stranger. How do you remember them?
Only if they're acting suspiciously or if someone's different. For instance, last Thursday in this neighborhood, did you see a man with red hair? Real red hair.
Well, yes, I saw him.
What was he doing?
Walking down East Vanders in the rain. That's all, just walking and looking around as if he were searching for an address.
Dying Hugh's hair brown changed his appearance remarkably. But very subtly, his attitude had also begun to change. Perhaps it was because my memories were of a younger, more innocent time, when the future was spread safely before us, ours for the taking. But by the time we left Fredericksburg, he'd become shifty, suspicious. I was driving.
Where are we headed?
Richmond, Virginia.
Why didn't we stay where we were? What was wrong with Fredericksburg?
We can't stay in one place too long, and we're too close to New York, and we need money.
What's needing money got to do with driving to Richmond?
I have to begin selling my jewelry, Hugh. I don't want to do it in the same town where we were married.
You're smart.
I worked, you know, while you were gone. I had a good job before I married Albert. I made decisions. I functioned on an executive level.
Better being stuck with me, is that what you mean?
No, that's not what I mean. I love you. You know that. You must know that. Why else are we together?
We're going to stay together. I'll take care of anyone who comes between us again.
In Richmond, I found a company, the Dixie Jewelers, which bought and sold old jewelry. The man was nice and honest, but I was shocked at what I received for my cluster diamond earrings.
How much did you get?
$600. They were insured for $3,500.
Where are we going now?
You decide. You tell me where you think we should go.
Mexico? We can get into Mexico and live there together. They'd never find us.
Do you speak Spanish?
No.
Well, I don't either. Terribly conspicuous.
Well, then you decide. You pick a place. Just so we're together, that's all I want. That's all that's ever mattered to me. You think everything's going to be all right?
Why do you ask? Aren't you sure?
I don't know. I'm no longer sure of anything. Those years and all those years, they take it away from you.
Police work takes a lot of sweat and a bit of luck. We got our first break because New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut cooperate closely on car information. A woman answering Mercedes Turner's description had bought a used car in Jersey City, Jersey plates. When we checked out the name and address she'd given for transfer of title, we found there was no such person and no such address. A teletype to the Delaware State Bridge Authority brought us further information. The trooper remembered the car because it was driven by a man with flaming red hair. The car had crossed the bridge at the end of the Jersey Turnpike. From there, it might have gone into Delaware, Maryland, or Virginia.
Put out the car description and the Jersey plate numbers.
Good.
So there really is a red-haired man, huh?
No ghost, a real live person. Hugh Rohan. I checked the registrar at his college.
Annixter?
Right. Got his records. Applied for entrance 1964, pre-med. Excellent grades, high school, Germain, Illinois. Lacking credits in Latin and chemistry, admission denied. Which isn't unusual for students from small-town high schools.
Well, how'd he make it up?
Tutoring, usually.
And that's what happened to Rohan, huh?
No, he didn't have the chance. Wasn't in school, so he was eligible for the draft.
Oh, lousy.
Instead of going to Annixter, Rohan went to Vietnam.
Some gifts don't do anything, but Presto gifts do almost everything.
Presto gifts, they do things for a woman.
Give her the famous Presto pressure cooker. It'll cook a surprising number of things for her, surprisingly fast. 3 times faster than pots and pans.
Presto gifts, they do things for a woman.
Give her Presto's jumbo fry pan. Big enough for a complete dinner for 8. And the handles are removable, so it's easy to clean and store.
Presto gifts, they do things for a woman.
Give her an easier way to broil. The brand new Presto vertical broiler broils both sides at once, then comes apart for easy cleaning. This year, give the gifts that do almost everything. Give Presto gifts.
Presto gifts.
The 0 Hour continues after this.
Once upon a time, there was a beautiful forest where everything was all lovely and green and peaceful. Sunlight fell in ribbons of daylight through its trees. Birds flew in a quiet air above it. Deer and rabbits found secret hiding places to play. For it was truly a beautiful place. And then one day, into this beautiful emerald forest, a new creature came. A creature called Man. And Man brought with him fire to warm him against the night. Only with his fire, Man did not bring caution, and the fire got away from him suddenly. And the beautiful forest was no more. And yet there might easily be a different ending. For if man is careful with his fire, he need never say, once upon a time, there was a beautiful forest.
We drove all day, under a sky the color of gray worsted. Occasionally the wind tore narrow rifts through the overcast for a watery sun to peep through. We stayed that night at a motel. Our room was as impersonal as a rented locker. We tried having a drink to help us forget everything that had happened. It didn't work.
Are you sorry you came?
No. I had to come. You can't be sorry for what had to be.
Dark out.
Yes. What are you listening for?
Do you believe in extrasensory perception?
I don't know. Sometimes, maybe. But it'd take a lot of proving.
I had a feeling this afternoon. Sudden, sort of peculiar, odd, like intuition. A message said, the chase has started. They're looking for a couple.
There's no way you can know that.
Oh, yes. Yes, there is. The cons used to talk about it. I didn't believe it, but I do now.
No. There's no way you know that's true.
It's...
like telepathy, as if some cop's thoughts are being transmitted to me. Not all the time, just now and then. Just a little bit, now and then.
Where are you going?
There's a car parked out there. Michigan plates. I'm going to get rid of our Jersey ones.
Here are the records and Rohan's prints from his army induction. Disappeared on a patrol in Vietnam in 1965. Missing in action, presumed dead.
We get anything on our wanted flyers?
I think we did, Will. A couple of days before Albert Turner was shot, three cons broke out of Bodo prison in Canada. Now, two of them were recaptured, but one is still at large. And that one's got red hair.
What name?
John Red Cargill. Seaman's papers. 3 to 10 for false passport, illegal entry, and smuggling. He'd served 7 when he split. Cargill's prints match Rohan's.
Picture of Cargill?
Correspondence Bureau received a telephoto copy of him from Montreal. Right here.
Yeah. That's funny. I knew he'd look like this. Good features, clean cut, sensitive mouth, eyes. I could see him in my mind.
Yeah. Guy like that, 7 years in prison. He'd probably crack open pretty easy. But, Will, the trouble is we don't really know if he shot Albert Turner.
Rohan and the Clinton girl were married when they were kids or old men and know the marriage. Wait a minute. And the woman's safety deposit was open.
What's the matter? What's going on?
This list of contents. Insurance policies, empty silk jewel case, title to co-op. Here we are. Why would she keep an empty envelope?
Oh, probably she didn't bother to throw it out.
Or maybe there was a return address on it.
Who are you calling?
Banners, DA's office. Find out if there's a name and address on that envelope.
We didn't stop again until we reached Kansas City. We had run from the Atlantic to the Midlands. Hugh's mood varied from moment to moment. Sometimes he was cheerful and optimistic, and I had hopes, against my better sense, that perhaps something would work out for us. But then he'd plunge into gloom and despair. And try as I might, I could see no future for us except to run until we were caught. Perhaps he felt the same way in that tiny Kansas City hotel room. Oh, Hugh, please put that gun away.
I need it. Reminds me of prison. What I may need to do so I don't go back there.
You have to get rid of it. It's direct evidence.
I won't let matters get that far. Why did you marry Turner?
I told you why. You were gone so long. I tried to convince myself that I didn't love you anymore. But the moment you came back, it was the same way it had always been. Isn't that enough?
But now you're... What do you think? What are you thinking? That I'm different? That I'm not the same?
We've both changed, darling. I no longer know what you think or feel either. Both of us together, possibly we can make one whole person.
Banners in the DA's office gave you the name on the empty envelope we'd found in Mercedes Turner's safety deposit box, Sayer and Bates Attorneys. I talked to Arnold Bates, a junior partner. He was very cooperative. He told me he'd handled an Enoch Arden decree for Mercedes Clinton against Hugh Rohan not quite 2 years earlier. The marriage had been secret, and Mercedes Clinton Rohan had wanted the decree kept secret. Her father was an old man in poor health, and she hadn't heard from her husband Hugh in 7 years. He was presumed dead.
You mean they were married a second time?
Right. After Lyman Clinton had the first marriage annulled, they were married again secretly, just before Rohan was sent to Vietnam.
Where he goes out on a patrol and disappears.
To service again in a Canadian jail under another name.
Uh-huh.
Well, whatever names they use, Will, we got a description, we got his prints, and we know their car. We're going to get him.
Yes, I think we will. Any reports on the jewelry?
Not yet.
Keep after it. They're going to need money.
During the day. Tonight, the temperature for Kansas City and vicinity should dip to 39 degrees. It will be cloudy tomorrow with a chance of snow flurries.
How long are we going to stay here?
Oh, another day or so.
Gotta move on. Get out of the country.
We need money to do that. Hugh, don't the police get reports on pawned articles?
Yeah. So I've heard.
Instead of pawning my things, I'll run an ad in the paper and sell them myself.
That's dangerous.
No, I don't think so. Kansas City is a big place. The police won't pay any attention to a newspaper ad.
And then we'll move on?
Yes. Hugh, I promised I wouldn't ask you about prison, and I'll keep that promise.
I don't want to talk about it.
But we must get out of the country. To do that, we'll need passports.
Well?
Do you know anyone? Someone who could get us passports?
In prison, I knew...
We have to leave the country.
Yeah. Yeah. I know someone who might. But, it's expensive.
We'll get the money. We have to buy passports. I think we've run as far as we can.
You are listening to Mutual's presentation of The Zero Hour.
VISTA means
Volunteers in Service to America.
I started out as a business major in college. I graduated as a business major. I got into VISTA because I wanted to really do something. I chose this as my line, and when I'm getting into it, it changed my whole life. I went through cultural shock. I found out what types of people really need the help. What's really happening in our country in the back areas. There is so much to be done. But I could say that if a person anywhere has an interest in doing something, there are programs for them. VISTA is one viable means, but there's so many ways of really getting involved with people. VISTA gave me my first start to work with the problems happening in this country. And to really get down to earth and work with the people that need it.
Volunteer for VISTA. VISTA is one part of action. Action is doing something.
There is something you can do. Get into action.
There's a disease in business today we might call spiritual schizophrenia. You see it in individuals who apply one code of conduct in their personal affairs and a quite different one in business or government. The belief seems to be that we are less responsible as individuals when we make business decisions, that business has a different code. When you think about it, that doesn't make sense. Profits are not the only gauge of business success. Business doesn't change the priority of values. We are born to the community of man first. The others are secondary allegiances. Make your personal morality work where you work and see the difference. The community of man, God's club. Be an active member. This message has been brought to you by Religion in American Life in cooperation with this station.
Tomorrow at this time, rest your eyes and listen here. To this week's continuing study in suspense, The Wife of the Red-Haired Man. I'm Rod Serling.
Today's episode brought to you in part by Quaker State Motor Oil and National Presto Industries. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
You have been listening to The Zero Hour. A presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System in association with Hollywood Radio Theater. Heard every weekday at this time. Rod Serling is your host. Zero Hour is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. The Hollywood Radio Theater theme was played by Ferranti and Teicher and is now available on United Artists Records and Tapes. Hugh Douglas speaking. Tune in tomorrow and once again,
rest your eyes and listen here
to The Zero Hour.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.